We've had our grandchildren with us yesterday and today. It's been fun being able to have Zoe and Tristan with us. They did a good job for us the whole time, took care of things for us, cleaned up after themselves most of the time, right? And Zoe has become quite a reader, reading all kinds of things. So she was sitting there reading this book. I know it's too big for me, but maybe you could enjoy it. She was reading this book, and I had been working on my sermon, and I heard her saying some words, and I said, wow, that's just the kind of stuff I'm going to be talking about on Sabbath. And so I want to read for you just a little bit. It says, wow, the ocean is huge, and these mountains are tall, and look at all those stars. There are way too many to count. God made it all. I want to praise Him. It's awesome. And so that's kind of the thing I want to think about today, what God has done. Turn with me again to Psalm 19, would you please? Psalm 19. Let's take a look there again. Psalm 19. Should be a Bible in front of you, or maybe you have one of those electronic gizmos or something, so take a look at your Bible, Psalm 19. Psalm 19, beginning with verse 1. Are you with me? Psalm 19, beginning with verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. Think about that for just a few moments. Think about the heavens for a moment. Do you have any idea how big the earth is? You know, if you were to set out walking and start walking along the equator and supposedly you could walk across the water there, how long would you be walking? Walking. Be a long walk, wouldn't it? That'd be a long walk. If you walk at about, 3 miles an hour? And it's how far around, do you figure? Any idea how far it is around? I think it's like 25,000 miles, isn't it? Something like that? 25,000 miles? And if you were doing it at 3 miles an hour, that'd take you a little while, wouldn't it? But if you think about it, it's really a tiny little speck compared to like Jupiter or something. You know, Jupiter's huge. It takes like 100 Earths to go into Jupiter or something. And then from there to go into the sun, I mean, the sun is mind-boggling how big it is. It's huge. The heavens declare the glory of God. And our sun is just a small one. Just a tiny sun in the corner of the galaxy, let alone all the other galaxies full of who knows how many stars, right? Where did all that stuff come from? You ever hear that kind of evolutionary thing, you know, where they talk about the Big Bang and everything came out of the Big Bang and, you know, all these dusts and gases and stuff came flying out of the Big Bang and everything. And it, you know, eventually formed into the suns and the, you know, the planets and stuff. And I've just always wondered, where did the stuff come for the Big Bang? Or where did the energy come from for the Big Bang? Well, it's always been there. Okay, so either all the stuff's always been there, the energy's always been there, and it's just always been doing its thing there. And we don't know where it came from. We don't know what its purpose is. We don't know anything about it. It's just always been there, or God. Right? Isn't that how it is? Either you have to believe that stuff just has, you know, just been there, or you have to believe that God has been there. Why is this so much harder? You know? The heavens declare the glory of God. God created them for a purpose. God had a plan. God had a reason. All this stuff did not just be there and suddenly get into nice organized systems and do its thing in a very perfect way and thus perfectly support life. Come on. The heavens declare the glory of God. It is awesome what God has done. Think about all of that stuff floating around there. Do you know they can predict down to the second when it will be spring and when it will be summer and when it will have the sunrise? You know, you look in your bulletin right there at the bottom there. It says, where is that? Where is that? Right at the bottom there. Sunset calendar. Check it out. March 17, 2012. What time will the sun set? We're not playing around here. Oh, it's around 7:30. We're not sure exactly. No, it's 7:37. We got this thing dialed down, and you can go on different websites and put in there Lakeland, Florida, and the date, and it'll give it to you. It'll give it to you right down to the minute. The heavens declare the glory of God, don't they? A perfect system running just the same every day. Just the same. Doing its thing every day, just the same. It is amazing, amazing how the heavens declare the glory of God. You look up there and you see all those stars. They didn't just come in from nowhere. God created them. The heavens declare the glory of God. And this atmosphere that we breathe. Any of you ever been up a high mountain? Hypoxia, had hypoxia? I used to be young and stupid. Now I'm old and stupid, but I used to be young and stupid. And some of my friends, you know, we were getting to be like 30-something. And at the time, none of us would admit it, but we felt it, you know, slipping away. Huh? 30-something. It's like, ooh, I'm not 20-something anymore. I'm, you know, the numbers are starting to get serious now. I have nothing else to look for. You know, first it was like, woohoo, 16, I'm going to drive. Woohoo, 18, I can vote. Woohoo, 21. And now it's like, okay, what now? 55, I can go live in a community, you know? So we were 30-something, and we were feeling it, you know. It's like, oh, this is really getting dang. But we got it. Yeah, we got it. We still got it. Let's go prove we've got it. Let's go climb Mount Whitney. It's the highest peak in the lower 48. It's like, let's go do this. And we did. We climbed this bad boy. We got up. You can drive to the 8,000 foot level. And then it's an 11 mile hike from 8,000 to over 14,000 feet. Wow. One way, you hike up 11 miles and you hike back, right? I thought I would die. My knees were just going nuts. I was breathing real thin air up there at 14,000 feet. breathing real thin air up there. It doesn't take very much elevation and you're away from the level of oxygen we need to survive. Who thought of that? Who made that stuff up? Did that just happen by chance? Randomly? Let's see, randomly everything in the universe just blew up. Randomly it just happened to have all of the hydrogen go, ooh, let's go over there to the place we call the sun, and all the dirt go over there to the place we call the earth, and just randomly all the oxygen said, well, we'll stay outside, we want to play, right? And just randomly all of the nucleotides and the amino acids got together just at the right time when that spark of lightning came down and made a little blob of protoplasm that started having internal respiration. And voila, here we are today. Just randomly. What? The heavens declare the glory of God. It is amazing what God has done. And the firmament shows his handiwork. Tristan asked me, Papa, how do airplanes fly? Well, it's a matter of air pressure, and there's unequal pressure because of the flow of it over the wings. And Papa, what's air pressure? The firmament shows his handiwork. God has made all these things happen, and we call them laws of nature. Random laws, no doubt, right? Come on. The heavens declare the glory of God. That's why they were made. They were there to preach to us what God is like, to tell us who he is, the wonders of the universe. Turn back just a couple of chapters to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm 8, not really a chapter. They were separate psalms, weren't they? Psalm 8. Psalm 8 and verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. When I think of all those things, what is man that we think we can come up with all these theories to explain God away? That's what I read in verse 4 anyway. That's what it means for me. That we think we're so big and bad until we look up in the sky and go, wow, that's too big for me. That's too much for me. I don't know how to explain that. Clearly, God was preaching to us in the sky. God was preaching to us in the stars. God was preaching to us in all of these things. It testifies of God. Acts chapter 14, beginning with verse 14. Acts 14, you may remember, Paul was about to be worshipped. Paul and Barnabas were about to be worshipped. And they come running in there and say, no, don't do this. We're just men like you are. We're just human beings. It says in verse 4, but when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothing and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, we men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things, all of the man-made stuff, all of these theories, all of our explanations of why there is no God. Turn from these things. And we preach to you that unless you turn from these useless things to the what? Living God. The living God. Who is this living God? What's so special about him? Why should I listen to your God? Why is your God different? Brothers and sisters sitting here today, why is your God different? What's special about your God? He's the God of a group of hill people, little tribe that came out of Egypt and thought they were something and beat up a few other little tribes. And then they said, ooh, here we are. And they had this God that they attributed to this, right? He's just a hill tribe deity. No big deal. The Philistines had one too. They called him what? Baal. Right? So why not? What's the difference? Why aren't we today worshiping Baal? Or Chemosh? Tristan, you can be really glad we don't worship Chemosh. Okay? He's the one they sacrifice children to. That's pretty sick stuff, huh? Why do we worship this God? Why is he different? How do you have a message that's different from the rest of this world? God is our creator, the creator of all that we see. You see, this God is a God who is not just the God of a hill tribe. He is the God of the universe. He's different. Look at what is said here in Acts chapter 14, verse 15. Preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all the things that are in them. This is the creator God that made that big ocean, that made those tall mountains, that made those stars that you cannot count. That's the God we worship. Not just any God, the God of heaven, the God of creation, the God who is above all things. That's the God we worship. And Paul recognized in chapter 1 of Romans, Paul recognized that these things that God created turn our minds to him if we will listen to them. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Because Paul is very precise here that these things are created to tell us about the God who is the creator. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. God knows everything. God is all powerful. God is the creator God. And all of these attributes of him are understood, clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead. So that they are without excuse. It is all of his created works that speak to us of this God. And so Jesus, the creator, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, right? All things were made through him, right? All things, John tells us, were made through him. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. They were created for him. The purpose of all of these things is to give praise to God. They are here to give him praise, to give him glory, to glorify the eternal God. That's what they're there for. To show the glory of Jesus, the Creator, along with the Father and the Son. You recall back at the creation that the Spirit hovered over the water, right? All three were involved there in the creation. And so we see here that we too, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6 says, we are for Him. So in both Colossians and 1 Corinthians, Paul makes clear that we too were created to give glory to God. How about that? We were made to give glory. That's what we're here for. Let me change gears on you here for just a minute. Turn with me, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. You with me? Genesis chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1. Genesis chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. What does that speak of? Creation again, yes? We're talking about creation. God creating. God creating things. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. What's that talking about? Sabbath, right? That's talking about Sabbath. The Sabbath is the capstone of creation there. As He finished His work of creating, Sabbath was introduced to commemorate what God had done in the world. Yes? In fact, we find that more clearly spelled out in the Sabbath commandment in Exodus chapter 20, yes, verses 8 through. You guys are good, man. You guys are good. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, right? Why do we keep the Sabbath? Because there's a giant God waiting up there to burn us if we don't? Is that what it's all about? Is it because we have to? Is it because if we don't, the church will get angry? Is that what it's all about? No, it's because we love God, yes? We want to tell about this God we love. And why did He say we do it? Because in 6 days, the Lord did what? Made heaven and earth. This is all about our love for that true God, the Creator God, the one who is different from all the other tribal gods. This is the Creator. We give glory to Him. He was not simply a tribal God. This is the Creator. Do you see the connection here? Each week, as we come here, we have the opportunity to declare the glory of God. Because each week we come to this place, we are saying, there is a God in heaven. There is a Creator God. There is a God who has done such awesome things. And that's the God that we preach to you. Really? Is that the God we're really preaching? You know, I think I remember this language, this kind of language somewhere else. What about you? This language from verse 11 here, Exodus 20, verse 11. For in 6 days, something about heavens and earth, the sea and all that is in them. It seems like I remember that somewhere. You remember that somewhere? Maybe at the other end of the Bible? Somewhere, yeah. I think you're right. I think it's in Revelation 14. Isn't it? Isn't language like that in Revelation 14? Let's take a look. Revelation chapter 14. You see, at the end of time, there's a message that needs to go out, isn't it? There's a message, something about glory, something about the heavens and the earth, something. Let's put this together here. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven. Brothers and sisters, who is this? Okay. All right, I'll drop back 10 yards here. Try this again. These angels that we find in Revelation 14, who do they represent? The people of God, yes? The people of God, this is supposed to be us. This is our message. This is who we are. This is what we're saying to the world. Brothers and sisters, we're not here to just occupy a pew on Sabbath morning. Amen. We're here to do good in this world. We're here to glorify God. We're here to tell about the Creator. Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. Having what? Are we preaching something strange? Are we preaching something that's never been heard of before? No, we're preaching the everlasting gospel. Preaching the ever... Oh, what does this sound like then? What does this everlasting gospel sound like? Having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell in the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying, so we're about to hear what this sounds like, saying with a loud voice, fear God and do what? Give glory. Give glory. That's our job. That's who we are. That's what we're in this world to do. We are here to give glory to God. Amen. Not just as part of His created works, but that's been what I'm trying to connect here. From the beginning, we are part of a whole, this everlasting gospel that goes on and on and on. You are the final piece of the puzzle, giving glory to God. Hold your finger there just for a minute. Go back with me to Psalm 19 again. Go back with me to Psalm 19. Are you with me? Verse 2. Day unto day utters speech. Verse 2. Psalm 19, verse 2. Do you see that? Day unto day utters speech. What in the world does that mean? It means continuously, without fail, from the creation. It has never taken a break. Always it has been the same. Always, day after day after day, the same glory to God is being sung by His created works. And brothers and sisters, we are part of that everlasting gospel. That's the point. Night unto night reveals knowledge. Day gives way to night. The night carries on the message of the day. The night yields to the morning, and the daylight carries the torch for the message of God. It never quits. Brothers and sisters, how about you and I? Can it be said that we never quit? that we are God's people through thick and thin, through whatever happens, no matter where we are. When one of us gets tired, another picks up. Wherever we are, we don't pass off the person who's back there and say, oh, you've gone wrong and I'm going to go forward. No, we're all together. We're a team, day unto day, night unto night. Each of us, one gift complementing another. We are God's people. Not God's persons. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Back in Revelation again, are you with me? Revelation 14, verse 7. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And do what? Worship him. Worship him. Him. You do not worship someone who is unworthy. You do not give glory to someone who is unworthy. We worship the Creator God, nothing less. There is no speech. Wait, we just heard that we're going to be saying all these things. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Some of you might have another version. Some of you might have another version. Some of yours might not have that supplied word. If you have the King James or New King James, you'll notice the word where is supplied. Do you see that? I'm sorry, I didn't even tell you where I was, did I? I'm just getting so excited. Psalm 19. I'm going back and forth here. Sorry. Psalm 19. So see, I got the two in my hand like this, so I can flip back and forth here. Psalm 19, verse 3. There it says, there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. You see that? But if you have the King James or the New King James, you see the words there and where are supplied. And you heard in our NIV translation that it didn't use those words today. Instead, it just says, no speech nor language. In other words, the sky doesn't need speech or language. And it says, if we leave out the word where, their voice is not heard. They're not talking to you with words. They're showing you the glory of God. By the perfect circuit of the earth around the sun, year after year. Any of you, well, maybe you did, you know. Maybe you didn't have a summer or a winter. Maybe you lived in Florida your whole life and never had a winter, right? Is that what happens, Lou? But it happens. Seed time and harvest, God said, are promised to us, yes? Every year it happens, year by year. Do you ever get up in the morning at like 4 in the morning and go, oh man, ooh, I wonder if the sun's coming up today. I'm not sure. What? You know it's coming up. You don't need it to say so. Without speech, without language, it comes up. It tells you, but there's a more excellent way, isn't there? There's a more excellent way. We can tell you with words. We can say with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Yes, we can say those things today and worship him, the one who is altogether worthy of worship. Worship him who made what? There's that familiar language, isn't it? There's that familiar language, who made heaven and earth and the sea and the springs of water. We are Seventh-day Adventists, not because we think we're better, not because we think we're cooler, not because we even think we have the truth, but because God has called us to this message and we have it to give to the world. It burns in our hearts that we have a Creator God we worship, and week by week we will declare his glory. And so, maybe you've seen Jupiter and Venus dancing in the early western sky. Some of you have noticed that? Those two bright stars up there? Yeah, moving a little bit there. They aren't stars, because they're moving. Jupiter and Venus up there. I read an article about it the other day. The scientists were saying, like, they will get 3 degrees apart, and this is the closest approach on Tuesday evening. And it's like, how do you guys know that? How can you guys figure this stuff out and go, nope, there's no God? Come on, man. Day unto day. They're talking to you night after night. They're up there giving glory to God. And brothers and sisters, we have that opportunity as well. We get to express it. We have as part of our purpose as God's people to give this message of glory to God. That's what we're all about. We have an opportunity for you to do that. We want to give you opportunities. We've been talking about these little cards that we want to hand out. If you need more cards, see me. I have more cards. Cards that you can give to people that need to know the Lord.